Recorded live.
Hello, my name is Will Morgan. I'm here with Doug Bowles, which I am every Tuesday. You're listening to 42 Minutes on the 24th of January, 2012. We are visited here today by an independent filmmaker and Russian pro athlete. He's actually American, but he plays pro ball in the Russian league. He is Joe Alexander, an individual who makes videos reminiscent of Steve Wilner and old Jake Tata synchromistic vids. The same style, at least, but it's a little bit more updated and beautifully done. How are you today, Joe?
I'm great, Will and Doug. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Actually, I'm really excited because I've been captivated by the videos that you've made. You've made a short list of videos. Obviously, as we've already talked about, it took you a lot of work. But I've been wanting to ask you the question on how you found synchromysticism and how you became interested in it.
Yeah. Well, I think I basically took the route that maybe most of us took. I was really pulled in by Jake and his videos. That's where I started, probably back in 2006, I think it was. And I can't remember exactly how I came across his stuff. It must have had something to do with searching for 9/11 or something like that, but it was definitely through Jake.
So. Okay. Your videos focus on one individual, Christopher Lloyd, pretty much it, with Christ, the Holy Bearer, then like the disciples of Lloyd. And what was the third one called? I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. Third one was just named Lloyd on Mount Olympus.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So I noticed that one of the things that really blew your mind was this Griffith Park tunnel. Was that kind of the that opened that whole Christopher Lloyd? So it's funny because last night I was watching these videos with my wife, and she's never watched a sync video before, and she's like, why Christopher Lloyd? Is he saying that Christopher Lloyd is Jesus? And it was hilarious. I'm like, yes and no.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Why Christopher Lloyd? Why did you pick Christopher Lloyd? I mean, what made you like pick that individual out? Was this something that you saw previous, like, okay, knowing what you knew about sync, you're like, okay, I can see this, or was this kind of accidental, like just synchromistically watched a couple of videos with Christopher in a row, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, you know, well, I think, picking Christopher Lloyd to be the focus of, you know, all these videos was probably as accidental, maybe as all the syncs that he's involved in, you know, in the sense that, you know, actually, I didn't even really set out to focus on Christopher Lloyd, despite that, he's in the title and he obviously is the focus. I had initially set out to focus on a different topic. I was trying to make videos about relating to The Wizard of Oz and some things to do with Oz and, syncs with New York. But the video, strangely enough, just like syncs in your life, the video just kind of took its own course and kind of took over. And so I would say that, as far as choosing Christopher Lloyd, I didn't really choose him. I kind of feel like he chose me, and the video itself kind of chose him. As strange as and as silly as that sounds.
Well, I gotta blow your mind here for a second. You know that Christopher Lloyd is in a miniseries right now on TV called The Witches of Oz, where he plays the Wizard of Oz.
Right. I know. That's wild.
That's freaking insane. That happened after, yeah. Of course, you started making the video. So you see, that's what's so cool to me is, like, I made a video myself, and I know how much time it took, or took you to make it through my own experience. And when I got to the end of it, after I finished the video, more stuff came out that, like, almost proved the point. Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, how do you feel about that? That's what happened to you in this case.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, when that happens, like you said, it happened with you, it just continues to reaffirm, you know, that there is some sort of strange force or something strange going on. And, you know, it just confirms that whatever it was that you know, led you to want to make the video about it, you know, that there really is something there. So
I like how one of the things that we say is that if you look at something, whatever your focal point is, will eventually give up all the mysteries of the universe. Like, it'll all be encoded in this one thing, you know, and we say that kind mm-hmm. of with a smirk, but that, you know, you've actually poured so much focus into Christopher Lloyd and, you know, Back to the Future that, you know, all of a sudden you're seeing all the architecture in the universe, of the universe, built into that thing, and it's fairly mind-blowing. Well,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean,
go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry, go.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, that was one thing that I kind of struggled with, in fact, was because like in the first video, I started going after Christopher Lloyd from one angle of Sync and kind of, you know, blending him with Zeus and this tunnel and a few other, you know, Oz elements. But then as it progressed, I started to realize that he was really strongly associated to a couple other things, you know, with Zeus and especially with this whole Clash of the Titans thing and Saturn and like you said, I started to realize that there's multiple layers to, you know, to the Sync story in just in Back to the Future, and that you can kind of analyze, you know, this one thing, and that the more focus you put on it, the more it continues to give up. And, you know, that has certainly been the case with Christopher Lloyd and with Back to the Future.
Well, okay. With the tunnels, you know, like going back to the tunnels, two of those movies, I think, were by Robert Zemeckis, right? The Back to the Future overall, when part two where he goes through the tunnel to get to Lloyd, and then in Roger Rabbit when he's going through the rabbit tunnel that goes to Toontown and comes through, and
yes,
Lloyd in the form of Judge Doom knocks over the dip. That they had to know that they were filming in the same place. I mean, there could be some intention to that. So, I mean, and of course we know the fact that if people do Sync intentionally, other ones will pop in, but I wanted to ask you the question on how deep you think the intention goes.
Yeah, I mean, that's really a tough question to answer, I think, with any Sync event. But with the tunnel, I mean, it's tough to say, because you got to think that there's going to be a lot of filming going on in Hollywood. And the
right.
tunnel is obviously a very interesting location. So you got to think, well, yeah, obviously Zemeckis favored this spot for filming, but then why? But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that he would have the same character, Christopher Lloyd, being at the end of the tunnel playing out the same plot. You know, there are a million different plot lines and a million different characters who could involve the tunnel, yet somehow they all end up being exactly the same. So you got to think that, you know, in some sense it is intentional, but then in another it becomes really just too strange to be completely intentional.
Okay, so what has it taught you then? Because what have you gotten out of it the most, I would say?
Man, what I've gotten out of it is that I don't know what's going on, really. And the more you look, the more strange it gets. And it's really kind of puzzling, because, you know, you feel like you look at something from almost like the scientific standpoint, where, you know, you make these guesses like, oh, there's Christopher Lloyd, I bet things are going to involve the Griffith Park Tunnel. And then it's like they end up happening exactly like that. So you're like, you know, I'm really discovering these sort of rules to the way things are. But really all that you're discovering is that, you know, is that there are no rules. And like everything is a lot more mystic and unscientific than you ever thought. So in the end, I think that it just taught me that I have a lot to learn. So.
Well, they used to talk about an actor being typecast, you know, so this is what like a traditional consciousness would say to that, oh no, Christopher Lloyd is just typecast. But when you end up detailing not only like a role, but like different things the role actually does, you know, then it becomes a little more tenuous to say, that he, oh, he's just typecast, you know, that he's interacting with the same tunnel over and over again is interesting. Jason Ferreira said, oh, no, you know, and when talking about composite character, he's archetype cast, you know, so it's like the mask that Christopher Lloyd wears ends up reflecting this, I don't know what you call that.
But see, it's distorted, though, because it's not like the same exact character. It's only symbolically the same character. Rasputin is not
the
same
mask.
Dr. Brown.
The
right,
mask
right.
Of the archetype.
What took longer, the actual production or the research? Or did you do them?
I'd say there's no real answer to that, I guess, because the research, I would say, had been going on for years, I think, you know, just taking miscellaneous notes here and there. And then, you know, the real focused intended research for the film probably took maybe, you know, 2 or 3 months. And then the production of the film itself maybe took, 4 or 5 months, I think.
When you watch films, do you flip scenes and put them in a folder somewhere with the idea that maybe you'll...
It's okay. I do it, man. You can admit to it.
Guys, I mean, I'm sure you can
like
relate.
It's like a meeting, man. It's like a synchromystic anonymous, all right? We tell each other our fucking deepest OCD secrets here.
But so then do you...
Okay, then I guess it...
Go ahead, let him say.
No, that's okay. Well, I was going to say, I guess it's safe to say, yeah, I mean, I don't really watch films anymore. I'm sure you guys experience the same thing. I just, I can never enjoy a film for just being a film. I'm always, you know, wanting to pause it and telling whoever I'm with, hey, did you see that? And did you know that this syncs with Oz and all this sort of thing? So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, so that whole synchronistic way of watching movies really is fascinating to me, because in thinking about this movement from a larger point, if I were to, you know, talk about what is the form of synchromysticism, it really is the sync video. You know, it's like, and I was, when I was on the couch watching a bunch of sync videos with my wife last night, you know, you can really see this, how they've developed. And you know, it's just such a perfect product, because it's anyone can watch them. They're short and they're always fun, and they make you laugh, but then they like shoot past your
reality, your boundaries.
Well, yeah, because on one level they're just so ridiculous and silly. You're laughing the whole time, but on another level you're like, you know, it talks to your core too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you accept the fact that somebody else
think,
could look over the same exact, you know, subject matter that you did and see something different, Joe?
I'm sorry, Will. Can you say it one more time?
Well, do you accept the fact that somebody else could look at the same lineup of movies that you did and get something different out of it? Or do you find it hard to convince people?
I definitely think that you can look at the same subject matter and see something different. You know, I'm not sure that there's any, you know, one way to interpret anything really. So I think that in that sense, it's, there's an infinite amount of ways to look at, you know, the same subject matter. Like even if it was all the Christopher Lloyd videos, maybe you could say, well, no, he's not Zeus. He's, I don't know, he's Mercury or whatever. And you could probably find a lot of evidence to support that. But I'd say that it all probably stems from, you know, in the end, you know, like you said, Doug, you know, every individual aspect is representative of the whole. So in that sense, you know, you can really find any amount of connections with anyone. So.
Have you got plans to do anything else in the future? Like pick another, or are you still on Lloyd, or what's going on?
Yeah, I have a lot of, you know, plans for Lloyd, because like I said, like the videos that I've made, they weren't the initial ones that I meant to make with him. My whole experience synchronistically with Christopher Lloyd was about Oz. I feel like he really entrained strongly with Oz. So, you know, I think my next videos are going to be about that. And I've got a couple of them lined up. So hopefully they pan out.
That's good, because I'm excited, dude. I liked getting them from you. I know it takes a lot of work, though, and I appreciate your hard work. I mean, thank you for the legwork that you did, for sure.
Thank you, yeah. It's good to know that, you know, people are connecting with them, so.
They're classic in the sense that they remind me of some of Jake's early videos. They're not the same, but there's a hint of a reference to the classic sync video, and so, but then they're really fresh too. So yeah, I really enjoyed them too.
Thanks, Doug. Thank you. You know, I actually made them with the intent on kind of mirroring what Jake had done, a little bit, I guess, to pay homage to it because I enjoyed it so much, and but also I thought that like Jake's early stuff was so accessible to audiences, especially people who knew nothing about sync. So I thought that it would be good to kind of continue that in order to, you know, either bring new people along or just to continue giving people what they had initially loved when they first saw Jake's early stuff.
Do you still pay attention to Jake's work?
Oh, absolutely. I think he still does great stuff. I guess my only regret, though, is that one of my favorite things to do is try to introduce other people to sync. And I think when it comes to Jake's new stuff, it's just on such a high level as far as, you know, being able to figure out all the sync intricacies of it that it's kind of difficult to introduce beginners to it. So in one sense, I really love it, but in another, I love it too much, and I want other people to be able to enjoy it too. So,
have you seen the sync book at all, or is it just something that you know that we're talking about? I mean, I can imagine. Go ahead.
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't been able to see it yet, but I'm you know, really anxious to, and I think when I get back to the U.S., it'll be the first thing I buy.
Oh, cool. Well, so I think about this a little bit. The sync video is so accessible, and they're sexy. They're fun, and the blogs are not as fun. They're still fun, and if someone's searching, you know, like they're on their soul's journey and they bump into a blog, and the blog is going to talk to them. But, you know, the sync videos will talk to anyone, and they might think, this is ridiculous. But it'll still reach them, and then later on they might come back and say, you know, that video was speaking to me. I wonder about how things have progressed. You know, so now, you know, we've moved from sync videos to blogs to this book, and whether or not the book would talk to people similarly.
Well, I don't know.
I hope so.
Suggest anybody listening to use Joe's videos as an introduction, if I may flatter you, sir, for just a second. I mean, because they are it's more in depth than old Katsa videos, but yet it's got the same presentation, so it's accessible to a new audience. I don't even try to show people new Jake vids or because of it's just too over people's heads, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
You know what would be interesting to challenge some sync video guys to use a different, like instead of using Western symbols like or Western archetypes, to try a different symbol set. I want to see this Christopher Lloyd video with Celtic symbols now, or Celtic archetypes. I wonder, you can do it with any of them. I guess it's just that's our language.
I don't know, man, because the Christopher Lloyd with the clock tower is a very good observation, and the torch situation that happens after it and the running of the torch is pretty much inarguable. I mean, these things you can't really say, oh, wait, this is Celtic. This is like watching the video and realizing what the symbol set is.
Right. So
right.
In the language of Western symbols.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what's being used. I don't think you can pick a different symbol set and then attack the videos the same direction. I don't think it would work that way. I mean, you weren't looking for anything particular, were you, Joe? You basically discovered it, as you said, right?
Yeah, I'd say that's about right, yeah. I mean, I can't remember exactly what I was looking for with this particular video, probably just a lot of different miscellaneous sync things, but... I'd say like the other two, it just kind of crept up on me, you know, with the running of the torch and the lighting of the torch and the clock and all that. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was thinking about this earlier. The connect. See, it mixes. It does mix. It's not like you can go out there after it with Celtic or whatever like that. But you'll notice that it has like the Roman mythology mixed with Christian mythology. So Christ and Jupiter become the same person, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up because that was something that I didn't put in the video because I thought that it'd be a little bit too strange or not fit. But, you know, if you guys want to watch Back to the Future, you should check out how when that whole Jupiter, Saturn, Roman, Greek, Olympic, you know, torch run is all carried out, there's a lot of interesting Jesus syncs that fall right into there at the same time. So,
well, yeah.
It almost feels like, you know, oh, I'm sorry.
You know, Doc Brown comes back from the dead. He rises. I like the way that he almost looks like a zombie. And the zombies from planet Pluto is cool, too. Jesus is a zombie.
Right.
And then it's the...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. We're on a lag, so it's kind of hard. We keep pausing for each other to talk.
Yeah, it's like I hear you. I hear you after I've already started talking, unfortunately. But, yes, it's like, you know, when he's marching through that ring of fire at the end, when we kind of said that was a little bit representative of the arrival of Jupiter and the defeat of Saturn. And so, like you just said, Will, if Jupiter and Jesus are kind of the same, you know, archetype, you know, then you can look at that and say, well, he's also standing inside of that astrological symbol of Pisces, which I would say many people identify with Jesus. And then I think other people like Steve Wilmer and some others have pointed out how at that exact same time, Marty crashes into the Assembly of Christ Church. And, you know, so there's a lot of intricate Jesus things woven in there with the Zeus theme. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I've noticed it, too, in researching because with Jim Carrey, I really quickly came to the conclusion that, you know, he's both Jesus and Jupiter. And how there's all of these dying gods thrown into one batch and one character. And his name is Lloyd Christmas. And everything that, you know, Jesus has to do with Christmas. And then also he's the green man with Osiris. So it's not like he's one pantheon. It's like all of the different concepts meshed into one. But Go ahead. Is that out of necessity, or is that just how storytelling goes?
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure. I think that you could say that, you know, the story of good triumphing over evil, or even the existence of good and evil, is obviously going to be, you know, present in most stories. But I do think that there are a few specifics about, you know, the Jesus character or the Zeus character that distinguish them from just any other, you know, hero who's fighting against evil. And whether it's out of necessity or not, to portray them with those exact details, you know, I can't say for sure. Like for example, the name, I would say, would be a detail, like Zeus or Jesus. And, you know, you can easily see the similarities just between those names, you know, with if you, you know, go through the etymology of Zeus and Jesus, you can even see how they're similar, so... But whether or not it's a necessity or not, I'm not sure, I guess.
That connection's really fascinating because if you were to line it up, you would see that Apollo ends up being more of a Jesus resonator in their pantheon. I mean, so obviously there's the hero journey kind of ends up being the same for all the heroes. And so does Zeus, the, you know, Jesus. Obviously are similar heroes, but I don't know, that connection of Jesus and Zeus might be like a a synchromistic connection that is unique.
Yeah, but then you throw in gray alien manuscripts and it fucks the whole theory up.
Well, yeah, that kind of warps everything a little bit, huh?
I was thinking about, you know, the gray sports almanac, and you kept going to the gray aliens, and my wife was just cracking up. But then I was thinking about Justin Gray and how the Sync book is kind of the gray alien sports almanac.
Well, okay, so, no, because I like the gray thing. It was the way you defined it. You weren't basically, the gray manuscript gives you a pun, kind of. And when he comes to the tunnel and he gets grabbed by the rainbow banner and you say the word UFO and then you realize what Biff is seeing, you're like, oh, fuck, that is a UFO. Do you know what I mean? Like, just the way that they present it, it all has to be how you define it out loud. Like, it all had to do with the words that you were using at that particular moment. But it sounds completely nuts. I mean, why would Hollywood make a movie hiding symbolism of, you know, an alien gray manuscript while putting all of these other esoteric god symbolisms in there? It's the intention. It doesn't make any sense. Why would they do that? But it looks blatant as hell by the way that you've defined it.
Right.
I think
the whole thing is just... I'm sorry, go ahead, Doug.
No, I'd rather hear what you think.
No, I was going to say, it certainly just seems so mind-blowingly strange that you're like, how could this possibly be intentional? But then at the same time, you just think it has to be intentional. It's just too strange. Like, when you look at the grays and... he's got stars all around its name, and, you know, when it's handed to him, he's surrounded by astronauts, and then, you know, he later is holding it and steals it while he gets abducted by a UFO. It's just like, it has to be intentional. It's too strange. But then, yeah, at the same time, you're like, why on earth would anyone want to put this in a movie?
Well, so then let's talk about the ascension a little bit. So you have, you know, you said towards the beginning of one video, the road to Atlantis is the ascension, you know, the move to higher consciousness. And what does that mean? Because so that was the thing. My wife kept asking all these questions, you know, and I said, well, you know, this gets into the subject of the Sync rapture. You know, is this a metaphor? You know, the aliens, are we supposed to think of the aliens in terms of literal aliens that are coming to take us to a new plane of existence? Or, and you rooted this into the pineal gland, which is great because, you know, this is all taking place in our minds on one level too.
Right.
So what is the ascension to you? And what is the Sync rapture?
Well, I'd say that, you know, the ascension right now is kind of shrouded in mystery. I think that there are a lot of things kind of pointing to it, but no one can really, you know, put their finger down on exactly what it is or exactly what it means. You know, is it aliens from outer space coming to teach us? Is it death itself? Is it merely something sparking our awareness to wake up? Is it us, you know, metaphysically traveling to another plane or dimension here on Earth? I think nobody really knows, at least I don't know. But I think there are certainly a lot of things hinting towards it and pointing towards it, and that's part of what I'm doing, or at least what my videos are doing, are kind of, you know, showing these things. So.
Pineal gland has always been associated to alien contact, and in a way, Doc Brown is the alien because he's controlling the UFO, and it's his time machine. Like, it's the destruction of time that is the reason that the manuscript is so important. So it all has to do with, you know, the time travel. Is the alien, is the god, is the angel, is the fairy, is the other? You know what I mean? It's all like wrapped into one bundle. But it is.
Yes.
But it basically, what is its use? I mean, does it all basically come down to just moralistic tales?
Well, I guess for me personally, the ascension is really just about awareness, because to me, you know, a higher consciousness and developing that aspect of ourselves and developing our spirituality is just about becoming more aware. And to me there's nothing really super mystic about that process. If you look at it in the long term, it becomes to look like something very mystic, because if you look at where awareness takes us after 1,000 years, you know, it ends up being to other planets and doing things that today would be perceived as magic and that sort of a thing. But, you know, from in the day-to-day process, becoming more aware of things is very mundane. But to me, that is essentially what ascension and higher consciousness is, you know, becoming more aware of things around you.
Do you find yourself maneuvering through life in a more fulfilling way because of your SYNC education?
Yeah, and there's no question about that. I think that, you know, embarking on the SYNC journey, and even though it induces a lot of confusion into your life, it also brings a lot of clarity in a lot of areas. And one of the important things that it did for me was it shows you that confusion is okay. Because such a big part of SYNC is that you kind of have to suspend disbelief for a little bit, in the sense that, like, someone tells you, oh, Christopher Lloyd is Zeus, you know, your initial reaction as a human is to be like, you know, you're ridiculous, get out of my face. But when you practice synchromysticism, you have to be able to suspend that disbelief and to say, okay, you know, I'm willing to hear you out for a day, I'm willing to hear you out for a month or even a year. And it's that practice of being okay with not knowing for a long time that really leads you to finding answers. And I think that's a big way that SYNC has helped me in my life. So
you don't believe that? I mean, how is your gullibility at, say, conspiracy theory and things of that nature? Do you feel that synchromysticism kind of warps your brain a little bit into believing just about everything, or do you think it does the opposite and makes you more astute at deciding what is true and what isn't?
Yeah, you know, I like to think that synchromysticism is definitely a tool, and like any tool, it's up to the individual and how they use it. For me personally, I think that synchromysticism hasn't made me better at deciding what's right and wrong, or what is fact and what is fiction. It has actually just made me realize that, you know, there's no way to know, and that.
Yeah.
At least everything that I've been told is certainly not fact. So
okay, that's interesting.
Okay.
Something there. So then, do you think the ascension is the knowing of that mystery, or is it just another step of knowing towards the knowing of the mystery, or is it just giving up to even know?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, the third point that you mentioned is probably what I would, you know, zero in that I think that, you know, the true ascension process will eventually lead you towards, you know, a conviction in your core that, you know, that you're kind of wandering in the fog, I guess, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, for me, you know, it leads me towards a road where I start to understand that all the things that I see that I believe I know about, you know, or I know things about them, or I know them to be true or not true, that it's actually just all kind of foggy, you know, almost like I'm wandering in the fog. And the more I know that the things that I believe I see aren't actually there, you know, for me, that's, you know, that means that I'm actually getting somewhere intellectually, even though it sounds kind of ridiculous. So.
It seems like some of the think cats think that you can know the mystery, that is the point, that you're trying to, you know, to pierce the veil. And but I sometimes wonder if the price of admission is the veil, you know, that we have to have that veil between us and the mystery, or else, you know, we end up leaving the material plane altogether. It's like the end of Moby Dick, You know, did Ahab get where he wanted to go? Did Ahab finally know the truth about God or know the ultimate truth, but that it cost him his life?
All right, how much time do we got left, Doug?
We have, it's 34 minutes right now. If you can do math on the fly, then...
Well, 34 minutes, we've got plenty of time. I really... Yeah, I was watching your third one. I hadn't watched all of your third one until last night. Like, I had started it, but I sat down because we were going to talk tonight, and I really, really dug the whole... I mean, I wouldn't have pinned Marty McFly as Hades, but it's really kind of astute. I mean, you kind of went outside of the comfort zone. But as soon as you were looking for Neptune, the first thing I thought of was Enchantment Under the Sea Dance.
Oh, okay. So you pinned it down right away.
because, you know, Back to the Future is like one of those movies that you've seen like 500 times. I think that was like one of the only VHSs that I had when I was a kid. So I watched that movie like dozens of times. And so there's a certain amount of nostalgia. I think that's why sync videos work so well, because it's like, you know, things that you've seen before that you missed, and then that's where the little punch comes in. But the Spin City was really interesting, too, when you went to Spin City and it showed Christopher Lloyd basically declaring that he was the Messiah.
Yeah, now, he kind of just states it pretty openly.
And that was the actual name of it was Back to the Future Part 4 was the name of the episode on Spin City.
Yeah, yeah.
And I liked the Buckaroo Banzai, too, because I had watched Buckaroo Banzai. I watched it for other reasons.
And then the white van was the white rabbit going through the tunnel. I don't know if you said that, but that's... So my wife paused the video right then, and she's like, oh, my God, is he saying that Christopher Lloyd is Jesus?
Yes, sir. But no, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, right, exactly.
What does that mean?
I guess.
Well, what's your wife?
I guess at the end.
Are you married? Are you?
No, I'm not married. I live with my girlfriend over here, and we enjoy a quaint Russian lifestyle.
Quaint. Dude, what does she think about this? Does she think you're fucking nuts?
Well, I hope that she doesn't, but on the surface at least, she seems to be on board. But no, I think that I've been preaching about it for long enough that she has seen that there is at least something to this madness that this sync community has discovered.
Have you seen anything recently? Have you that's not necessarily on the thread of Christopher Lloyd, but perhaps new movies or whatever that you find interesting?
You know, I'm sure I have. It might take me a minute to recall. Shoot. You know what? I think sync stuff happens to us throughout the day. Today, something really crazy happened. I was actually listening to Red Ice Radio, and, you know, they were talking about the Clash of the Titans and a TV that has never been on ever in this gym that I work out in suddenly was on for no reason, and they were playing a movie about the Clash of the Titans, and it's very strange, so I guess.
Yeah, that's been happening a lot lately to me, too. Do you feel that there's an acceleration in personal sync since 2012? Because I sure have. I don't know about you guys, but, like, things are getting weird, man. I'll be reading something in a book, and it will be on the TV at the same time, or they'll say the same word. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting because right now I'm reading 11/22/63 by Stephen King, which is about time travel. He goes back to 1963, and I got the feeling once because he's in 2011 and he goes back to 1958, and the change in money is what was so, you know, it really. Because everybody's taught, you know, your grandparents always told you that everything was cheaper when you were a kid. But to really think about the fact that you can, you know, fill your car up with $2. And the only difference really is the time, like the year that it was. There's really no difference in the amount of gas or whatever. So all of the things that really make our life stressful, the work or the office or you know what I'm saying, like all of these things, not having enough money, are only a creation of time. Like, so the overall effect that you want in your life is to break time or break your attachment to time, like or time's attachment to you. It's the same Jupiter, joy, or what I associate with 42, destroying time or becoming timeless.
We're going to have to talk about that in the green room. Because the convergence that I'm having is interesting, too, about the destruction of knowledge in Alexandria, which is a nice little thing that is unplanned. Reading this book called The Swerve, and it has to do with learning and the point of an activity by the kernel at the core of it, you know, and so I'll talk about it over there. But the destruction of the Library of Alexandria is kind of like the launching point for this whole discussion.
Okay, we're digressing big time. Joe, why don't you go ahead and tell us how to find or how people can find your videos and whatnot on the internet?
Okay, cool. I think they're all at YouTube. So if you just go to YouTube and type in Lloyd, Our Christ Bearer, it should pull you up, and you can go to my channel, and all three of them are there. So
Barely Human 11, I think, is what the channel is called.
Yeah, Barely Human 11. Yep.
And it seems like the first video's on Vimeo and then the second video's on YouTube, or the second and third video are on YouTube.
Yes, the evil YouTube
yeah,
robot,
yeah.
Not your first video, huh?
They got it, man.
All right, how much time we got?
Well, we just got a few more seconds, and so I don't know.
Live in New York next week.
Live from New York next week. Thanks, Joe. This was a lot of fun.
Great. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me.